I just discovered a brand new operation in God. And of course, he took me through the way the Lord works with me. Sometime before he tells me what's happening, he takes me through it. And I'm just having to hold on for dear life until I get through it. And then he tells me this is what this is. So he's just bringing me through. It all depends. I don't know. Tomorrow morning, I'll let you know. Praise the Lord. He's bringing me through. I'm in the middle of, maybe hopefully at the end of, an operation of his spirit that I really have never been in before. And I want to share that with you. And I want to clear up a few misconceptions of what this particular operation is. So we're going to begin at Matthew chapter 3. Now, we've been in the law of the spirit of life as it pertains to the soul. We've also been into keeping his word. We're about 9 months in now to keeping his word. 9 months is birthing time. Amen. 9 months into the extremity of that revelation and understanding of what it means to keep his word. And so I want to share some things that have happened. And I want to begin here tonight, if I can, with Matthew chapter 3. I'm so glad the Lord opened this up. He gave me the first part of this message, and then at the very last part this afternoon, I was just sitting in a chair, and he opened my understanding of something. I said, Lord, you know, you could have told me that when we started. It's probably by far one of the most intense and powerful operations of the Spirit of God that I have been subjected to in 27 years, because I really did not know what I was going through, although I was going through it. Amen. So Matthew chapter 3, verse 11, he says, I indeed, this is John speaking, baptize you with water under repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. Everybody say, yay. Hallelujah. Glory. And fire. And fire. Now, there's different kind of fires. But the one he's talking about here is not that one that, you know, you go, fire, fire. You ever heard Sharon goes, you go, fire, 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 fire. It's not that kind of fire. That kind of fire is good. I mean, it just gets you, you know, you're on fire for God. The fire of God's burning under the Holy Ghost. Zeal, power, fire, glory, hallelujah. That's not that kind of fire. I know, and I mean, really? I know, it's not. I wish it was. It was an operation of his spirit that came with the Holy Ghost. And the Lord administrates this, and he does administrate it all the time. In fact, I don't know that I've ever been under it to this level. Now, let me show you why. Look at the next verse. He said, he'll baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan, that word fan in the Greek means winnowing fork. Say winnowing fork is in his hand. A winnowing fork they used, and they would shove it into the wheat and the chaff, and they throw that wheat, and they would fork out, and what it'd do is separate the chaff from the grain. It would separate the chaff from the wheat. It would separate the outer extremities from the inner purities. See, what God's looking for is wheat. He's looking for the pure grain. But there's chaff that goes with it. When you're born again, your spirit gets the pureness. But your soul is, it's been subjected to the law of the spirit of life. But that's to be appropriated by faith. So he's a winnowing fork is in his hand. And he will thoroughly purge his threshing floor. Who's his threshing floor? You are. And he will thoroughly purge. Say thoroughly purge. Ever felt thoroughly purged? Now there's different kind of purgings. I believe it's Isaiah 48 talks about the furnace of affliction. I've chosen you in the furnace of affliction. How many of you ever gone through the furnace of affliction? Nobody? Nobody in here has ever gone through the furnace of affliction? You haven't walked with God long enough, I'll tell you that. How many of you are in the furnace of affliction right now? How many of you are not going to raise your hand no matter what I say? Yeah. I've chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. That's testing and trials. That's God's process through testing and trial and many years of testing and trial. As we go through it, we're changed, but it's a very slow, a very enduring process. But it works. I remember when God brought us over this building, I sat out there in the front of that parking lot and I cried. I said, oh God, please no. I thought I was ready for an international ministry. God thought I was ready to go through the furnace of affliction. We're never where He is. But we don't know what He wants. We just know what we want. He's going to eventually give you what you want, but it's after He gets what He wants. Getting what you want is the easy part because He can just give it to you. Bam, suddenly. Getting what He wants, different story. Because you don't know what He wants. Because you don't always see your capacity. Sometimes your testing and trials bring them out. Enough of them bring it out. People can see it, but you, it's hard for you to see it. You ever been around somebody besides me? Well, I mean, they just hide behind stuff. Everybody else can see it, but they can't see it. Not me. Don't say you. Say they. They can't see it. The hardest thing ever is to see your stuff. Because the very first fruit of the fall was to hide. Because we bought the original lie, you had to be perfect. If you eat from the tree, you'll be as God. You'll be perfect like Him. And you're very much not. But nobody wants to show their imperfections. Nobody wants to see all your imperfections. Nobody wants to get in the way of your imperfections. Everybody run over by a freight train of imperfection? Sometimes you just get in the way. You're just an innocent little sheep that got in the way of somebody else's imperfection. That's never happened. We'll leave it at that. That's not the baptism of fire. That's the furnace of affliction. The furnace of affliction is very drawn out. The baptism of fire is something else. Now there is a fire in the Holy Ghost and fire that's keeping me alive. That's an awesome kind of fire. That's the kind of fire you want. That's what come on you, the ministry. It's zeal and fire. And you burn for God. But that's not what this is. The baptism fire. Because He has His winnowing fork and He's thoroughly purging His threshing floor. Now notice what He says here because He's following the line. And He says He will thoroughly purge His threshing floor and gather His wheat into the garner and He'll burn the chaff with unquenchable baptism of fire. He's going to separate wheat from chaff. He's going to separate spirit from soul. He's going to separate impurity from what is pure. He's going to take His winnowing fork and He's going to separate. And then He's going to burn what's separated and He's going to keep what's good. Amen to say amen until you go through it. A little different than amen. It's like a refiner's fire. I thought all I said, there is a raging fire inside of me. I can't stop it. Because when this fire started, actually for me, I was doing great. I was on the mountain. There's a different kind of, there's an operation of repentance. That's when you fall. That's when you miss the mark. And you have a brokenness, a constant repentance, but that's not the baptism of fire. This thing started when I was on top of the mountain. This thing started when I was doing great. I was ready for revival. I was ready for wealth transference. I was doing everything right. I was keeping His word, praying, sitting, abiding. Everything He's ever taught me, man, I was in the groove. And something started. Just, whoa. I didn't know what it was. It's been burning straight for 21 days. Yeah, come on, get in there, Pastor. Can someone bring me a cup of cold water to cool my tongue in this flame? It's power to go in there and separate. And then begin to devour chaff. Not what 20 years of trial could do. Not what 30 years, 27 years of walking with God couldn't do what the last 21 days have done. allowed me to see things I could never see before. And it wasn't pretty and it wasn't fun, but I can see it now. It's fire to separate the dross. You know, when you get something hot enough, what happens? You know, when the silver dross comes to the what? It was in there. The impurity was in there until you get it hot enough. And the heat and the fire separates the impurity. You cannot look at an impure bar of gold and see that impurity until you start melting it with a hot enough flame. And then the impurity and the dross will come to the top. It takes a flame that's not of this world. I don't wish it on anybody. I'm just telling you it's an operation. In case you find yourself in the middle of it, I want to let you know what's going on. One of the ways the Lord uses me is sometimes it's like Star Trek kind of thing. We get out there like the right hand of God. We're jumping out ahead in some things. Well, this particular operation, I'd never been under it like this. I've been under a lot of different operations of the Spirit, but I've never been subjected like this. I didn't know what was really going on. There was a lot of stuff happening. My inner circle knows what's going on. I mean, it's crazy stuff. Because it's ability to go in and separate the core of who you are. Sometime it went back 47 years. All the way down. Started separating things I didn't even know was there. Oh, don't look so holy. You don't know if you ever get under that. However, like anything, as painful as it is, you start seeing the glimpses of the glory. I'm saying, wow, what an operation to transform. What an operation to perfect your people. If you've been in this long enough, you want God to get you to the next level. You want to get past the stuff. Sometimes you don't know what the stuff is, but you want God to get you past it. What an operation to come in that fast, that quick, and start an inferno of impurity. Go to the book of Malachi. Because one of my questions, I said, God, what brought this along? And why didn't you do this 20 years ago? Where would we be? If you would have started this before the ministry. Probably had a lot more people around here. Amen. Amen. Some of you have been around long enough. You know what I'm talking about. You can laugh with me. Or cry with me. Malachi 3. He's prophesying this operation. The last book of the Old Testament, Malachi, begins to prophesy this particular operation called the baptism of fire. I believe right now in my limited vision of what I see this to be right now, because he just opened this operation of the Spirit. I believe this is what's going to bring the church to its perfection in the last hour. I believe it's going to remove the spot and the wrinkle from the church. I believe God's true remnant church is going to get exposed to this. And what we could not achieve in 40 years, God's going to send us. It's not a fire like you've been accustomed to when you go through trials and circumstance. It's an internal operation of the Spirit of God. And when it gets turned up, there's nothing going to stop it. It is going to burn the chaff until the chaff's removed. It's going to remove strongholds that you couldn't remove. And all the thousands of hands that have been laid on you couldn't remove. And when it gets turned up, there's nothing you can do to stop. You can't run from it. It'll go with you. One thing that happens once it gets turned on, there's not going to be anything that's going to stop it. It's an inferno flame. It's like you get dropped into a molten pot and all the impurities are going to surface whether you like it or not. The best thing you can do is just clear out everybody around you for a little while. Anybody that you love and care for, just give me space. That's not enough space. Back off another 100 yards. You're not going to want to see who comes out. I didn't want to see what came out. Because it comes to the surface. It's hidden. It's locked into places. You don't know it's there. Your mind can never discover it. You don't have enough intellectual power to look at things like that. Only the Word of God can bring that out. The separation of soul and spirit. The drawing out of the dross that's keeping us back from the next level. But I'll tell you what I believe activated by the night's over. I mean, you pray for patience, you're going to get plenty of it. Kind of like we prayed for love all one day with Richard Money and got him up here. He's Mr. Love. And so we got on our knees real holy. Remember that? 290 building. We said, oh, Father, real holy, put the love songs on, you know, and get in that holy moment. Teach us, Father, to love. Teach us to love. We're ready, God. Oh, my, what that started. The furnace of affliction came right in. I had more opportunities to learn to love and failed miserably. One after another, I say, God, okay, I'm ready to love when you love me. That's it. Malachi 3, behold, verse 1, I will send my messenger. He shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come into the temple. Now listen, in our dispensation, which this particular scripture is prophesying about, is not the temple made with stones, it's you. He's going to suddenly come up in your temple. Even the messenger of the covenant whom you delight in, behold, he shall come, saith the Lord. But who may abide in the day of his coming? He shall stand. And who shall stand when he appeareth? You're not going to stand very much when the refiner's fire or the baptism of fire is upon you. You're going to spend a lot of time, lots of carpet time. Who shall stand when he appeareth? For he's like a refiner's fire and he's like a fuller's soap. He shall sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. And he will purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver. He prophesied in the last book of this operation would come with the Holy Ghost, the baptism of fire. I said, Lord, why don't we get more of this? We go through afflictions and persecutions. We all go through the battles. Where has this operation been? Because I know I've been walking with God pretty strongly for a long time. I never came under this kind of operation. I came under brokenness and repentance and all that kind of, but not this kind of operation, the intensity by which it could just carve it out. Just draw it right out. Whether you liked it or not, it was coming out. I believe it belongs to the apostolic. I believe God is getting his church ready, getting them prepared for a very, very, very quick purging. A very quick work he's going to do. A very quick work of perfection where he's going to perfect his saints with a refining fire. Listen, you get something hot enough, it'll bring all the impurity off. Literally, it would burn like a, not like a regular fire, but a spiritual fire inside, and it would never stop. I didn't know what was going on. I said, Lord, we were doing so good. What happened here? Because you're ready for this. And you got to have this for the next level. Because you can't take that other stuff into the next level. I didn't even know it was there. Not like that. Let me tell you something about this kind of operation. You're going to see it. You're going to see it. And you're not going to like what you see. Holy Ghost hides that stuff from you. He's not going to have you walk with God always looking at your imperfection. We are to look into God's glory. We're not here to look at our imperfections. Holy Ghost, the Bible says, him that restraineth in the last days, in the time of tribulation, him that restraineth is going to be lifted from the earth, the Holy Ghost. He's not only restraining the world, he's restraining your issues the best he can. He restrains our stuff the best he can. When we walk with him, even though a lot of it's there, he'll restrain it on our behalf. Sometimes there'll be a blow up here and there, but he'll restrain until the time the refiner's fire gets turned loose. When that fire gets turned loose, woe be to the stuff that's in its way. Because it comes by a winnowing fork, and he's going to separate the wheat and the chaff, and the chaff's going to burn with unquenchable fire till it is no more. And the fire's not going to stop till he gets what he wants. I am cooperating. I have no choice. Turn your Bibles. Psalms 51. Came to church, we're going, oh boy, I really wanted to hear this one. See, the thing is, when you walk with God long enough, you find out what's in the way is most of the time us, and we're really trying to get out of the way. If we're getting closer and closer to God, we feel our limitations. That's why the Holy Spirit maketh intercession for our infirmities, because we feel what's in the way, but we don't know how to get it out of the way. We'll fast, we'll pray, everything we can do. We want the stuff out of the way so we can move on into the glory. Because you want the glory when you walk with God. You want to go higher. It's always compelling you up. Always hang around people that are compelling you into God. Amen? So as painful as this operation is, the quickness by which it works is amazing. I'm like, God, I wish we could have done that. And I kept asking him, because of course me, I'm inquisitive. I'm going to know what caused this and why didn't we get this before? Because things would have been a whole lot different had I seen some of this stuff 10 years ago. A whole lot different. I believe the church needs this operation. That's why he put it right there with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We need the perfecting of God. One thing about God, he's not going to leave you the way you are unless you stay in one place all your life in the Spirit. When he brings you up, he's going to transform every one of us. Most of us want transformation. Most of us want to move higher. We want to go in. We want to remove the blockage. This thing just came in like a storm and started separating, dividing, and the ability to see was amazing. Just amazing. Could see the whole thing. The whole matrix of my soul was laid bare. In fact, Hebrews says it. I have to tell you, I mean, I could sit up here and tell you things are perfect, but you know why would we tell you that? If we're going to go somewhere, we've got to know we have to have this kind of change. Go to Hebrews. Put your finger in Psalms 51. Go to Hebrews 4 just for a minute. I need to show you this. Well, Pastor, what do I do with this message? I have no idea. I'm just telling you. I'm not telling you should pray for it. Some of you, I know you're going to do it. I know you are. You're just too hungry elsewise. Some that get so hungry, they don't care. They're ready. Because you're tired of the limitation. The hungry ones always live up against the ceiling. You know what I'm talking about? How many of you know what I'm talking about? When you're hungry for God, you're always living up against that ceiling. You're trying to press through. It's just constantly there. It bothers you the most. I want to get through that ceiling. See, the hungry live in that ceiling. I just found something that'll blow that ceiling right out of the water. I mean, it's more powerful than fasting, praying 10 hours a day. That fire, it's so intense. I'm sitting there, no, Lord. Yes, Lord, no. Yes, no. Yes, no. If you get in it, just warn everybody around you. I am not going to be me for a while. Forgive me in advance. Try not to get in my way. Try not to be in front of me. I don't know what's coming out yet. Your soul is a matrix. From the time you were born, your soul has been compartmentalizing every single thing that's ever happened to you. God has made our soul in such a remarkable way. You compartmentalize information. Some of you can remember things all the way down to 5, 6 years old. You can remember events of life because you compartmentalize. It'll compartmentalize your painful events, your traumatic events, the very painful events get compartmentalized. And most of the time, it shoves it all in the same little room. Every time someone hurt you, wounded you, rejected you, betrayed you, abandoned you, it shoved it into a room. Every time you went through in a relationship, it shoved it into a room. It shoved the pain, kept shoving the pain. And so that room gets really built up there. If you're old enough, it'll get really toxic in there. But it's all covered over, and sometimes guardians will live on top of that room to make sure nobody ever touches this room. Don't even think about coming near this. Sometimes you don't know you have guardians in your soul, and they're not angels. They're guardians called control. They will control at all costs who gets entrance and who doesn't get entrance. Sometimes you get so walled up because what you'll do if you go through enough traumatic things, you'll develop self-protection mechanisms. You'll get really good at it. That's why you will live with a wall around you. Why the reason you do that is because nobody's coming in that room and those guardians will get up in there. This is not going on in your spirit. It's going on in your soul. That's why in your spirit you go, hallelujah, glory to God. I mean, you can have the love of God. Oh, glory. The next day your soul comes back up. So wait a minute. You were just telling me how much you loved me the other day. Who is this other person? Hey, just because we're pastors, that means we're immune to that operation. Except Enrique. When he goes through the refiner's fire, I want to see what comes up. Probably a little spot on top. What could not be like Enrique? Or Pastor Chuck. All the love people around here. Oh, you're going to get a new pastor here, President. I'm telling you right now. Because Pastor Chuck's just about to go through the refiner's fire. He's about to go through it. You're going to get a new pastor. heart ready to start loving now. The one thing it does, it removes your all those guardians. Sometimes I'm just telling you straight up, there are spiritual entities there too. It's not just strongholds. Lots of toxic emotion, lots of toxic thoughts. Because when that room gets opened up, the refiner's fire, when it goes in that room, it's going to blow the doors right open to that room. And all that stuff's been compacted in there and compacted and compacted and compacted and compacted. Boom! There it goes and the volcano erupts. All I'd say is get out of the way! I tell Anna, this is not me! Trust me! I go to Anna, I say, tell me what's truth right now. Tell me what's truth and what's not, because I don't know. Because all that stuff gets flushed out. When dross is purified, it comes to the surface so you can look at it. Not so you can live in it, you can look at it. And there's levels of repentance that come with it. But it doesn't stop. That refiner's fire just keeps going and going. I'm like, Lord, turn it off! Too late. Once he starts it, I'm just telling you straight up, it has a certain thing it's looking for in the mind of God. And I'm going to tell you this, it's not going to come upon somebody. It's not walking with God. You have to give him a level of permission to do this, because God would never invade your life like that. Just like the Holy Ghost would not come up and invade somebody. You can't force the baptism of the Holy Spirit on somebody, and you can't force the baptism of fire on somebody. Now, everybody will go through testing and trials, but this kind of operation belongs to the hungry, the thirsty, and those that want more of God. There has to be a permission for this kind of thing. He's not going to do that. You have to give him permission. I think I know what caused it. I think I know what happened. Guess what happens when the purification comes? You purify gold to its purest state. Science has already said if they could purify it, it becomes transparent, translucent. That's why you can walk on the streets of gold and it's translucent. It's purified gold in heaven. We are going to become more transparent with one another. Because what happens with the refiner's fire, it's a perfect love inside that fire coming through the law of the Spirit of life. And that perfect love will start casting out fear. It'll start casting out torment. It'll cast out paranoia. It'll cast out rejection. It'll cast out all kinds of things. Hebrews 4. This is how it started. Right here. He that is entered into his rest has ceased from his own works as God did from his. Verse 11. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick. And it's powerful. This is not the one you read for 5 minutes. This is the one you set up on the throne of your heart. The word of God is quick. Verse 12, and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. It is sharp, piercing even the dividing of sunder a soul and spirit. What do you say about the winnowing fork? That was part of the baptism of fire. He would separate the chaff from the wheat. He's going to divide the soul out. And this is not the good parts. This is the bad parts. The chaff part. He's going to divide that out. He's going to make a separation. Right now, some of it's all integrated. Sometimes he's going to go in there and start separating the matrix of your soul. Only he can do this, by the way. The joints of the mire. Watch this. Discerner of the thoughts and intents of the what? Heart. Neither is any creatures manifest in his sight, but all things are what? Naked and open unto the eyes of him who have to do. Say naked and open. You are exposed. Nobody likes to be exposed like that. And only God can expose you to that level. That means there is nothing covering you. Between you and God, there is nothing. You're not hiding. You are wide open because God's word and the refiner's fire is going to get up in there. You can't hide anymore. There's no more hiding. All things are naked and open. Never knew what that meant. See, that was an operation of the word. Jeremiah said, is my word not a fire? Is not my word a fire? It's not my word of fire. Oh, my goodness. Jeremiah 23, is not my word, verse 29, of fire, saith the Lord. Now go over to Psalms 51. See, we always want the exterior But there's an interior. There's an interior promised land and there's an exterior promised land. Outer promised land of everything we want, but there's an interior one too. God wants to conquer the old man, conform us to the image of Christ. Amen. Psalms 51, verse 5, behold. I mean, this is when David missed it. He says, I was shapen in iniquity, and sin did my mother conceive me. See, you were born in sin. You weren't born in life. Spirit, soul, and body were subjected to the law of sin and death. Behold, verse 6, thou desireth truth in the inward parts. What you're going to find is a whole lot of the way you believe, a whole lot of your perceptions, a whole lot of the lenses by which you live life, actions, reactions, behavior patterns, your systems of thoughts that are governing your life, that are governing relationships, that are governing your actions. A whole lot of what you believed is built on a lie. It was not built on truth. It's just the way you've been for so long. That's the way you see it. I react this way to every time this situation happens because that's what I consider truth. But God desires truth in the where? Inward parts. He wants truth in the inward parts. He wants to root out the deception. He wants to root out the lenses. And 1 Corinthians 13 says, behold, we see through a glass darkly. But then we'll see him face to face. When perfect love comes, we'll see him as he is. It's hard to look into what perfect love really is. We have our own perception of what love is. You know, 1 Corinthians 13 says, behold, I give my body to be burned and have not love. I bestow all my goods to feed the poor. Now, who could possibly say if someone gave all their goods to feed the poor, they didn't have love? How could they say that? But Paul said, it's possible in human love to give all your goods to feed the poor, but not possess what God's love is. You give your body to be burned for the cause of God and not possess what God's love is. Because God's love is greater than human love. And when perfect love comes, that which was in part, we see through a glass darkly. See, we have lenses we look through. Every day we wake up, every time we interrelate with somebody, every time we go through a circumstance, every time we go through a situation, every time we go into a relationship, we're looking at things through a lens. Those lenses may be truth and they may not be truth, but your mind doesn't have the capacity because what happens, your mind will convince what I am doing is truth. I used to offend people in this church in thinking I was right to do it. Looking at it now, I was not right. I was very much wrong, but that back then, I believed that I was right. Nobody could convince me otherwise. Man, I am telling myself a lot tonight. But that's what love does. It'll come in and perfect love will cast out the fear. I mean, it'll come in with a fire. Baptism of fire and a purification. You know what? As painful as it's been, I said, oh God, wow, we're going to make it. If he could do that much that quick, I mean, what can we do in a year? What can happen? We can actually do this. Anybody of you been praying, seeking, pressing for revival all these years and looking at it like, Lord, we're not very far into this. You know what I'm talking about? You kind of look at all the efforts and the labors of our life and all everything we do for God and look at where we are. I'm thinking, you know, Lord, we're getting up there in age. You know, I'm just kind of measuring 27 years. I'm like, we haven't gotten very far here. You're kind of thinking, hopefully we're going to get a little further along in the next 27 years. But see, we're going to get introduced to something. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that is exalting itself against the knowledge of Christ. You know what a stronghold is? A stronghold, you know, the imaginations casting down. It's the systems of thoughts. Listen to this. Empowered by emotions that are producing actions, reactions, and behavior patterns that are contrary to the mind of Christ for your life. And they'll sit there in a full gospel church year after year after year after year after year. But there is something that's going to uproot it, because God desires truth in the inward parts. God desires truth in the inward parts. Isn't that good? And in the hidden part, notice what he says, Psalm 51, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me what? To know wisdom. He's going to make me to know wisdom in the inward part. He said, if you have bitter envy, jealousy in your heart, glory not, lie not against the truth. This wisdom does not come from above. No, he says it in the heart. He goes, it didn't come from above. It's earthly, sensual, and devil, but it's coming out of your soul. James 3 said that. He goes, but the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable. It's gentle. It's easy to be entreated. It's full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality. Truth. Refiner's fire. It's going to change us. The baptism of fire is going to get us ready for the glory. It's going to get us ready to carry it in the glory. And it's going to do it quick. Remember when David messed up, God gave him an option. Choose a pain. Year of famine, 3 months of something, or 3 days of the destroyer. David took the 3 days. Get it over with, because he knew he could fall on the mercy of God. And he did. But that destroyer started destroying the entire city within 3 days. And David fell on the altar of God and stayed his hand. Took the quick route, was the point. How many want the quick route? He said, you desire, and in the hidden parts. See, there are parts that are hidden. Parts that are hidden. Look at this. Proverbs 20, this list, you don't have to go there. The spirit of a man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. Now, that's not this belly. That's the inner man. The spirit of a man is the candle of the Lord. See, because where is he going to set his word? He's going to set it upon the lampstand of your spirit. He said, he that keepeth my words, verily the love of God is going to get perfected in him. Why? Because it's the word set on the candlestick of your spirit that's going to release the light. It's going to start searching all the inward parts. And it's going to find what's in the way. Why? So it can remove it. God wants to remove what's in the way as much as we do. But these operations that we're coming into now, they belong to the mature church. And we're coming into the apostolic age where all things are going to get perfected. Government's going to get perfected. We're going to get perfected. The glory's going to perfect. The power's going to perfect. There's going to be all these things that are coming in perfection. And God's getting us ready as a body to come into that place. And I didn't want to talk to you about this. And the Lord said, you got to share this operation. Because I believe it's coming upon the body of Christ. At least the remnant body has got to get ready for the glory. He's not going to put that kind of glory in our present condition. He's going to get us ready for it. We're going to have to walk in love. And the things that are keeping us from walking in love are going to undergo the baptism of fire. I'm going to say something to you. 27 years of trial could not get what these last 21 days got. Did you hear what I just said? 27 years of trial could not open me up what these last 21 days did. And I'll tell you how it happened. Go to Luke 8. Mark 4, Luke 8, and Matthew 13 are all one, but they say three different things that are very, very wonderful. They talk about the process of the word. And throw this in here. Pray for me. Pray. I'll make you a deal. You pray for me. Now, I'll pray for you if it ever should happen to you. How about that? You held me up, because it takes a lot out of you to look at this stuff. You're going to see it under the microscope of God. And that's not fun at all. But it's rewarding because it's coming out. Amen? That dross is going to come out to the surface. Thank God it's not going to live there. God's going to scoop it up. And guess what's underneath? Pure gold. Luke 8. I'll close with this. Verse 15. But that on the good ground are they which with an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it. It's the third time he said this. He said in Mark 4 and Matthew 13. Mark 4 and Matthew 13 said, having heard the word and understandeth it, having heard the word and received it. This was the final operation, having heard the word and keep it. Remember us talking about keeping the word for 9 months? That's what happened. It's set up on the lampstand of our spirit. There's a time when that word begins the separation process. This is why it's not happened, because we haven't learned how to keep his word. When you learn how to keep it and what that means, it's going to start doing things for you. No man, when he lighted a candle, covereth with a vessel and putteth under a bed, but he setteth on the candlestick. What is it? The spirit of a man is the candlestick of the Lord. He's going to set this word upon the candlestick of your spirit. It's an operation of the Spirit and the Holy Ghost and the Word. And they which enter in may see the light. There is nothing in secret. Look at this. Say nothing. This is talking about you. There's nothing in secret that it should not be made manifest, neither anything here that it should not be known and come abroad. There is no dross that's going to be able to hide. He's going to make you to know wisdom in your inward parts. There's nothing hidden. It's the things that are hidden that's keeping us for the next level. It's the things that are hidden that we can't see that's keeping us from going to the next level. And I'm telling you right now, I done found something that's going to blow the doors wide open. And it's going to do it fast. I promise you, this church is not going to be the same in 3 months' time from now. It is not going to be the same 3 months after that. There's going to be a purification that's going to come, and things are going to change. We're going to change. I'm changing, and I'm liking it. I like what I see already. The other side. Don't like what I saw, but I like what I see. He that had ears to hear, let him hear what I just said. Don't like what I saw, I do like what I see. Because I'm not dwelling what I saw. That's on its way out the door. I do like what I see, because I'm not so looking through a glass darkly anymore. Eyes have been opened to a lot of things. Took a lot to open that up. But it's a glorious thing. Amen. There's nothing hidden. I believe what happened, what caused that refiner's fire, the baptism of fire to begin, was the keeping of his word. Now, the fire, the word turned into a fire. And started the separation of all separations. I would love to just give you a story about this happened to somebody else. But it happened to me. Right in the middle of it, I couldn't even talk about it. It was very hard. But once it starts passing away, it's not so hard anymore. Amen? Well, I'm not going to pray for this to happen to any of you. I'm just telling you it's there. And if you're hungry for God, you're probably going to have to get this particular operation to get you to the next level. Because there are very few things going to get you through your ceiling. I mean, you know what I'm talking about, your ceiling. It's the thing you live under day after day, year after year. It's what keeps you where you are. How many of you know what it means to be up against your ceiling? Raise your hand. You know what that means. The struggle you have when you're constantly hitting the same ceiling and you want to go higher. And you see people that blew through their ceilings and like, how'd they get through theirs and I didn't get through mine? Found something that'll blow you right through that ceiling. It will be painful, but I'm telling you, it will remove the ceiling. It's what God's looking for. I know what I'm looking for. Revival and all this other stuff, but I didn't know what he was looking for. When he gets what he wants, he gives you what you want. You should write that down. When he gets what he wants in you, he'll give you what you want in him. If he gets what he wants in you, he'll give you what you want in him. Amen.